Blog Talk Radio.
We would like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. This is a show dedicated to underserved communities, and we seek to fill in our missing pages. It's only by filling in our missing pages we'll come to learn the truth and come to learn the contributions that our people and communities have made to America and the world. So we welcome you to Missing History. Today's theme is we're going to do a Missing Pages of History Teachable Moments. Missing Pages of History Teachable Moments. There'll come a time in history where we have teachable moments where we must seize upon that particular time. And we believe recently the presentation that was made at the BET Award by Jesse Williams was one of those Missing Pages teachable moments. We're going to discuss that in detail, and we would like to have your views and your comments as we discuss the subject matter. But before we do that, there are a couple of announcements we'd like to make as relates to the ongoing activities for Missing Pages of History. First and foremost, we'd like to remind everyone that Missing Pages of History second quarterly raffle drawing has been extended to July the 19th. We have extended a second quarterly drawing that will take place on July the 9th, which is next Saturday, at WCLM 1450 AM radio station. We'd like to thank all those who have supported us, and for those who haven't purchased our tickets yet, you still have time. Please contact one of our members, or you can go to our website or call us at 804-726-3217. We like to and we need your support. At the same time, we are still having our T-shirt cap fundraiser drive for the summer. If you have not purchased your cap and your T-shirt, do so by going to our website, www.mphinc.org, or contact one of its members. And last but not least, we want to remind you that this upcoming fall, we'll be doing a live TV program on Continental Cable Channel 95, Richmond, Virginia. We'll be dealing with some real interesting topics, and we will talk more about these upcoming programs in our following radio show program. So, again, we'd like to have your support. Please go to our website, www.mphinc. Check out our activities, and as well, we also are open for membership. We would like to have you as members to help us build our communities, make them become more accountable, more prosperous, and more enlightened. So those are our upcoming activities for Missing Pages of History. And what we would like to do right now, we'd like to transcend into a Missing Pages of History teachable moment. Now, there was an article that was written in the Telehub magazine. It was written on April 21st, 2016. The title of the article is NBC News Predicts Populists to be RFID Chip in 2017. Its subtopic is RFID Chips Embedded in All Humans to Become a Reality. You know, sometimes there are so many things going on in our communities and our lives, we forget to see certain things that are printed in certain pages. And we think that this is a real interesting issue that will have a profound impact on human beings, their lives, and what it means to human development in the near future. And this article addresses that there is a radio frequency identification chip that will be placed in all human beings solely for the purpose of identifying, recording information as relates to human beings, their activities, and their demands. These chips, you have to use them for everything, to buy food, to get into buildings, I mean, et cetera, et cetera. We would like to have a discussion with the community in terms of, number one, are you willing to allow these microchips go into your body? And if so, has there been any studies on the impact of these chips since they're going to be radioactive? How would it affect the human organs and the human being? How would it affect their thinking? Who made the decisions to put this into your chip? Do you have the right to your own body? So this is something that we encourage our listening audience. Please go and read this article by Shepherd and Bellis in Intertail, April 21st, 2016. Sad Mirsum, they are talking about putting these radio frequency identification chips in human bodies. Often when you look at cartoons and commercials, you see these kind of things for future world, and you think it's something that people just making for entertainment purposes. But unfortunately, it seems today that this reality is here now. So we'd like to have your comments on this possibility of walking around with chips inside your body and people being able to monitor your life 24/7. And who would be the people who would be monitoring your life? Who would be the people receiving this information? So, again, this is a missing pages. It's a missing pages and need to be discussed and understood. And what we want to do at this point in time, we are inviting the public to come in to share their views and their ideas as we talk about these teachable moments. Right now, we're going to open up our phone line. We have some people who have already been waiting patiently to discuss the various issues and ideas that we discuss. Missing pages, history, teachable moments. So as we talk about this new technology and putting microchips in people, how do people feel about it? What is the implication? First and foremost, let's start with caller 6029. Caller 6029, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Yes, good afternoon. I think the implications of putting chips in human beings is not a good one. I think, first of all, the question in terms of privacy, why is it important that the government know where you are, what you're doing, how you're doing it? Why is that important to the government? It seems to me that there are some ulterior motives that are not, frankly, being discussed in terms of the government's real motivation in terms of putting chips in human body. Aside from that, the whole question in terms of the medical implications, when you talk about that kind of radiation emanating from the human body, then clearly there has to be some downside in terms of the negative impact it potentially has on the human body. And unfortunately, the media has been unwilling to educate people in terms of, you know, the downside in terms of the amount of radiation people are being subjected to. But I think just in terms of, you know, generally understanding radiation, one of the things is that large exposure to radiation a lot of time is catastrophic. It's not a good thing to do. So the mere fact that the government is willing to do that not only suggests that the human beings are superfluous, that their existence is not important, but it seems to me that what is paramount to the government is that they have absolute control over any and everything human beings do, particularly in America. So I think that's fundamentally a problem. So I think people are very concerned about putting chips in human bodies. Thanks.
Okay, we'll put you on hold, caller. We go to our next caller. We have caller 6057. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your question and comment as it relates to this particular issue of human chips inside of human bodies.
Okay. Well, in addition to possibly devastating health effects, and there's been no information provided on the effects that this could have with other organs inside the human body, and also, in addition to who's making these decisions, who would use this information, and also for what ends? Now, ostensibly, it's supposed to be used to prevent terrorism, and what that means is highly subjective. But it could also be used to monitor people's activity in order to stifle political dissent. And so it's dangerous on several levels. And I think it's something that people need to be aware of and be wary of any attempts to try to put this, in a person's body.
Okay, thank you, caller. But you also are on hold. And we go to that next caller, caller 4298. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your question or comment?
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. I think, it sounds like a Big Brother watching kind of situation, the NSA spying and information gathering. And we have a history of this kind of activity, just wanting information and to personalize it and more facilitation process of entering the personal lives of people with this chip. I don't think it's a good idea. I think it would be used for political purposes because that's the nature of our government. It's what to preserve itself of this fascist, imperialist, decaying government that is doomed and it will put up any last ditch effort to save itself. So I'll just leave it like that. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. And we now go to one of our contributors, the analyst, Susie. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. You have heard some responses to this particular article and this issue. We'd like to have you to give you your response to this issue.
Okay, I think one thing is when you look at the apocalyptic side of it, when you look at churches, for them to be able to want to consider using this RFD chip is basically the beast, and it goes back to the point that they stated in Revelations 13:16-18. So to do something like this, like everyone basically has said, it's a way to control people, the government getting involved in controlling people's lives, and it's really the beast.
Okay, what we want to do at this point in time, we'll make our next transition. We just thought that we ran across this article. It should be of interest to everybody in terms of knowing how future human beings will be monitored, will be impacted by medical technology, by using chips inside their body that will be able to tell everything about them. And people need to know if this is the kind of future we want to have and live in. So, again, please go back. Title of the article is NBC News Predict Populists to be RFID chip in 2017 by Shepard Abeles. It was written on April 21st, 2016, to sources in IntelliHub. Now, let's make our transition to our major discussion for today. We're talking about Missing Pages of History Teachable Moment. I thought last week at the BET Awards, there was a young actor named Jesse Williams made a very powerful and interesting statement. He made a statement that seemed to have shocked everyone in the audience. Some people, if you look at their facial expression, they were very surprised to hear him say such powerful things as relates to the realities and conditions of African people here in this country and throughout. And what we would like to do is, let's analyze this statement in terms of how it relates to the reality of our people. But before we do that, we will have our contributor, Annalyn Susie. Won't you read the transcript of the actual statement that was read at the ceremony? And then we'll open up for people to have to respond to this. Susie?
Okay. First of all, he said, before we get into it, I just want to say I brought my parents out tonight. I just want to thank them for being here, for teaching me to focus on comprehension over career, and that they make sure I learn what the schools were afraid to teach us. Also, thank my amazing wife for challenging my life. Now, this award is not for me. This is for the real organizers all over the country, the activists, the civil rights attorneys, the struggling parents, the families, the teachers, the students that are realizing that a system built to divide and impoverish and destroy us cannot stand if we do. It's kind of a basic mathematics. the more we learn about who we are and how we got here, the more we will mobilize. Now, this is also in particular for the black women in particular who have spent their lives dedicated to nurturing everyone before themselves. We can still and will do better. Now, what we have been doing is looking at the data, and we know that police somehow manage to desolate, disarm, and not kill white people every day. So what's going to happen is we are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function and ours. Now, I've got more. Yesterday would have been young Tamir Rice's 14th birthday, so I don't want to hear any more about how far we'll come when paid public servants can pull a drive-by on 12-year-old playing alone in the park in broad daylight, killing him on television and then going home to make a sandwich. Tell Rika Board how it's so much better than it is to live in 2012 than it is to live in 1612 or 1712. Tell that to Eric Garner. Tell that to Sandra Bland. Tell that to Dorian Hunt. Now, the thing is, though, all of us in here getting money, that's alone isn't going to stop this. All right, now, dedicating their lives to getting money just to give it right back for someone's brand on their body when we spend centuries praying with brand on their bodies, and now we pray to get paid for brands on their bodies. There has been no war that we have fought and died on the front lines of. There has been no job we haven't done. There's no tax they haven't levied against us, and we have paid all of them. But freedom is somehow always conditional here. You're free, they keep telling us, but she would have been alive if she hadn't acted so free. Now, freedom is always coming in the hereafter, but you know what? Though the hereafter is a hustle, we want it now. And let's get a couple of things straight. Just a little side note: the burden of brutalized is not to comfort the bystander. That's not our job. All right, stop all that. If you have a critique for our resistance, then you better have an established record of critique of our oppression. If you have no interest in equal rights for black people, then do not make suggestions to those who do. Sit down. We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, yo, and we've done watching and waiting while this intervention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burn black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit. The thing is that just because we are magic doesn't mean we are not real.
And I would just say, wow, what a statement. For those of us who are conscious and have seen a history when brothers and sisters speak out in that tone of voice to the world, there are consequences. And what I would like to go to the listening audience is, based upon the statement, do they see this as being factual, a reality, and what do they make of the statement? He touches upon many interesting and important points. And I'd like to hear your critique of the statement, going back to caller 6029.
Yeah, I think his statements encapsulate what oppression really means to the African masses. But I'm particularly happy that he talked about the class character in terms of struggle. One of the things is that we brought into the notion that in terms of being free, that it's all about things. And so we got people in Hollywood making a tremendous amount of money, do absolutely nothing in terms of liberation of African people in society. because they're brought into the notion that, in fact, that the money makes them free. But yet, when you look at the disparities in terms of acting careers or even getting acting roles, there's a huge disparity between African actors and all others. So therefore, even in that context, there's a lot of discrimination being played out in terms of Hollywood. So I'm glad to see that he actually talked about that and also to talk about the attributes, the creations of African people those benefits to be enjoyed by the masses of white folks. And so therefore, historically, that's always been a situation, whether we're talking about the cotton gin, we're talking about cure for cancer, or we're talking about refrigeration systems. All these systems innovated by African minds who nonetheless got no credit in terms of those accomplishments. So that's been a history in terms of our people. And so we have to, at some point, we begin to realize that we have an ultimate responsibility, but we can't depend on those on the outside to resolve these conflicts that we're confronted with. So I think you did a very good job in terms of laying that whole program out. But thank you.
Caller 6057, your response to Chester Williams' speech.
Certainly. I think he gave some very good examples of the victims of, imperialist impression over the centuries, over the years, and how even though we fought in every war that the imperialists have waged, the progress we've made over the centuries has not been adequate. Especially when you can, when you can be brutalized based upon your nationality, and and have your ideas, your cultural contributions stolen from you, and still not be able to develop to your fullest human potential, in spite of the fact that we probably have more wealthy Africans than at any point in history. But I think the class struggle is key. And I think also, the fact that we need to realize that even with all these trappings, we're still not free. Because in spite of that, we get the blame for all the ills of society. And we're the victims of all the wars and conflicts that are engaged in by the forces of neocolonialism. And I think this is a very good point that he raises, that when we stand and get organized, then that's the only way our oppression will fall.
Thank you, caller. We'll go to the next caller, 4298. Your response to Jessica Williams' statement. What have you learned from that?
Yes, that was a refreshing statement. It shows that Black liberation is not just an organizational thing, but it's also a movement. It's a movement, and that it encompasses all strata of society and all people who are yearning and thirsting and hungering for righteousness. And his speech to address that subject of the injustices that we encounter, and he's very eloquent in that. And I hope that other examples of will pop up as we move on, because we have a liberation movement to accomplish. Thank you.
Okay, Susie, what do you take from all of these analysis of his statement? Where do you fall in terms of what are some learnable things or things of emphasis that we need to look at as he dissected the various issues that have affected our people historically of being here? What do you take from his statement?
Okay, I think one thing it opened up a lot of people's eyes when you look at the amount of people that followed the BET Awards and everything. A lot of them wouldn't even give us a train of thought. So it changed their train of thought, and it's going to make us even want to go and do more research. Basically, and one other thing is that this Jesse Williams, he actually has produced a documentary called Stay Woke. It's the Black Lives Matter movement. So I think what he did, he started the dialogue because after the awards, just like on Facebook and Twitter and everything, everybody was discussing it. So at least we had a dialogue about what he did at this program.
Okay. I think I have another caller waiting. I don't know if this caller is in a position where I can speak, but we're going to give him an opportunity to speak on what we have been discussing so far. We'll go to your caller 2400, last four numbers, caller for 2400. Would you like to make a statement based upon what has been said or what has been discussed from your statement? Chester Williams. Yes, caller 2400. Your mic is on. Okay. I think the caller may just want to listen. We'll continue. Now, you know, one of the things about Chester Williams' statement, I felt like that he really spoke truth to power. He spoke to the world in a context where the leadership of people of color should have been addressing the same issues, but they haven't addressed the issue in a real conscious, forceful, honest reality. Yeah, I mean, he really spoke truth to power. What do people make of how you have such a so-called entertainer is willing to take such a stand and put his whole career, his whole life on the line at the expense of others who may have had more support, who may have more material wealth, or who may be more even publicly known? They chose not to interact or make statements as such. It was my understanding that before the program, BET asked all of its participants to not to be political. But Jesse Williams made a conscious choice to make a political statement. To those who are participating on the program today, what do you make of a Jesse Williams versus other well-known leaders who have not articulated the historical realities of our people since we've been here, like Jesse has? Brother, let's go to caller 6029. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, well, I just want to be succinct. I know we've run out of time, but I think what the stand he took is indicative of the fact that he understands that our destinations are intertwined. Unfortunately, because of the class character in terms of struggle, a lot of us believe that, in fact, money puts us in a favorable position, which we don't have to worry about the ills or the injustice that inflict out on people on a daily basis. But he's intelligent enough to understand that destinies are intertwined, and particularly we talk about an economy that's unraveling. It's very important that people understand that destinies are intertwined. So I think you did a very good job in terms of communicating just that. Thanks.
Okay, caller 6057. Jesse, to understand, what about our leadership? Where have they been? Why have they not articulated in such a faction, with such a passion, with such adjectives, where it made every word he spoke come alive?
I think, one of the things he pointed out, that he brought his parents to that program that night, and he thanked them for teaching him comprehension over career. And I think that's an important lesson that a lot of our people in leadership positions do not understand. That is more important to understand than and to be willing to put your career on the line if the interests of the masses of the people are at stake, which he eloquently pointed out they are. And I think the fact that more Africans don't take that kind of stand is a reflection of the fact of how neocolonialism is the dominant manifestation of how imperialism manifests itself among us today.
You made an interesting point in that statement. He said it right. He said, I just want to thank them for being here, for teaching me to focus on comprehension over career, and that they made sure, and this is the key word for me, I learned what the schools were afraid to teach us. How do we get these school systems to teach what we should know, to teach the real history of the world, to be inclusive of all people's contribution? I think that's part of the issue. The institutions that we call schools are not teaching the real history of the people. people who have developed and made the society what it is. Brother Moses, your response. I said, what up, Moses? We'll come back, Moses. Susie, your response to the statement of Jesse being, Jesse spoke to the world. He took a position where many leaders chose not to have taken for many reasons. What do you make of that?
Okay, just like you said, what are we going to have to do to get the teachers to go back? Because I think the educational system has changed so much. Instead of us really going forward, we've been going backwards. So we're going to have to take and we're going to have to get back on the line of teaching our own kids and getting them all the research and the tools and everything to really get the comprehension of who we really are so that we'll make certain things of more value versus the financial means and things of that sort.
Okay, are you with us, Moses? Come back to call us 4298. Call 4298. Okay, let's just move on. In terms of closing out for this program, I'd like to have each one of y'all just deal with one particular issue. And this issue is, he has spoken truth, he has articulated what are the issues. Now, how do we really address the issues to make sure bring change come about? How do we start to bring about the kind of changes dealing with the issues that he has articulated in the statement? Because the whole world, at least for the whole week, been talking about him and his statement. The world has heard it, and this may have not really been the first time. It comes out periodically in different forms. But how do we now take what he says, make it more relevant, and make it become real, and start moving forward for a better world for all people, particularly communities of color? Call us 6029.
Well, I think it's a process. I think he started that process by actually opening up the dialogue. One of the things in terms of trying to bring about change, you have to have the dialogue. Unfortunately, the media is in a position to limit and potential any relevant dialogue. So therefore, he uses the opportunity to actually, given his celebrity, to actually raise the question in terms of those kind of issues that impact the African community. So therefore, now that he's done that, it leaves an opportunity for us to actually engage in realistic dialogue in terms of which way forward, which up to then hasn't been possible. So we owe him great debt in terms of using celebrity to actually raise their questions. Thanks.
Okay. Caller 6057, your closing thoughts. How do we take the statement that he has made and use it as a teachable tool to move forward?
Okay. I think in addition to sharing this statement that he made and adding to it what we do know, we have to work to organize our people so that we can actually fight those forces that are denying our youth the adequate education needed to make change in society.
Okay. Susie?
Okay.
How do we make this work? How do we move forward from this point?
Basically, we need to start this, and we need to start it with the young kids. Even if we have to do it in, first of all, we should be able to start it in the school system. Then we can start a conversation in the churches and in the places that we tend to meet. Even if it's just general conversation on a bus. But we have to just go through every kind of medium or whatever to just give this information out to individuals so they can at least start thinking about it and talking about it.
Okay, in closing, we'd like to thank our listening audience for allowing us the opportunity to come to your home this evening as we continue to fill in our missing pages. Today's theme were missing pages of history, teachable moments. There was two incidents, or there was one incident, a statement by Jesse Williams that was made at the recent BET Award show. And we thought that it was a statement worthy for time of discussion and reflection. It was a statement that should go down in history as one of the greatest statements, one of the greatest statements that a human being has made as relates to articulating the historical life of a group of people who have been in this country for over 200 years or more. We want you to take the statement, talk with your children, discuss it, understand it, but more importantly, act upon it. Do something positive for your community, for humanity, to make it better. Become another Jesse Wim, and don't be afraid to speak truth to power. Don't act as an individual, but also understand that it's important not to be selfish, and that you are a part of the community. That was something he stated in the beginning of his statement, that this award represents many peoples and groups who have contributed to the reality of what he is and why he is there. He also has recognized the importance of the black woman and the role they have played and continue to play. And they too need to be included in our missing pages and world history. This statement is a statement that should be read in all the school classrooms throughout the country and throughout the world as a tool for learning. We also want to warn you and make you aware that there is an issue going on where future human beings may be injected with microchips that will control your life, give all the information about you in order for you to purchase things, to go into buildings, etc., like you see in science fiction movies. This reality may be here now. And we must ask ourselves, what will be the consequences of human development when we start putting microwave chips inside of human beings, and how they may affect the body, body parts, from the mind to the kidneys to the heart, etc. And who is to make this decision? Do we have the right to dictate what goes in and out of our bodies? Go back and read your page. Until next time, we'd like to remind you this has been Missing Pages of History. And next week, on June the 9th, we'll be holding our second quarterly fundraising raffle drawing on WCLM 1450 Radio. Please, if you have not purchased a ticket, please do so. Contact one of your representatives, or you can call us at 804-726-3217. At the same time, we also encourage you to support our ongoing fundraiser. We have a T-shirt and cap fundraiser where you can purchase your Missing Pages of History T-shirt and a cap. And you can get this information by going to our website, www.mphinc.org. And also join us. We now open for new membership. Again, we'd like to thank you for allowing us to come to your home. This has been Missing Pages of History. We'll see you on the 16th of July. Until next time, let's remember we all must play a role in filling in our missing pages of history. We'll see you on July the 16th at 1 p.m. We thank you.